You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, not joined by David Ramil today. He is busy covering Orlando Summer League in Central Florida right now. And just a couple things right off the bat. Apologize for the drop in sound quality today. Recording this out from Austin, Texas, and I actually forgot to pack my microphone. So that's why the sound quality might not be as good as it usually is. Also, we're getting this podcast a little bit later than we're usually used to. We thought that we would be getting the Gordon Hayward news today, but it turns out he is postponing that. I was kind of waiting around all day for the Hayward news to drop to record the podcast. That's not happening, according to USA Today's Sam Amick. He will sleep on it. So he's going to take Monday night to sleep on it and, I guess, decide on Tuesday, which happens to be the 4th of July. So in case anybody wanted to just enjoy the 4th of July knowing Hayward's decision and not having to worry about it, too bad, because that's going to be the story on the 4th. So Hayward met with the Heat on Saturday, the Celtics on Sunday, the Jazz on Monday, and reports are indicating that Miami's meeting with Hayward did go well, and that Spoelstra in particular was impressive. However, on Monday night, Amick reported that Utah made a very strong impression on Hayward in the meeting, and then according to Adrian Wojnarowski, who is now with ESPN, that meeting lasted about 3.5 hours. Now, the Heat's meeting, according to George Sedano, lasted more than 4 hours. So read whatever you want into how long the meetings lasted, but those seem to be typical lengths for these sort of meetings. He met with those three teams, and he's going to sleep on it, as Amick pointed out. So now it's between the Heat, it's between and the Celtics and the Jazz. Now all we could do is wait just a little bit longer for Hayward's decision. So a lot of rumors, a lot of speculation. Overall, it sounds like the Heat made a strong impression and it's out of their hands. You can only do so much. I mean, Hayward's got a lot of reasons to stay in Utah. He might have reasons to leave Utah. Look, I mean, Utah is the team that groomed him, that made him into an all-star. It's where he spent his entire career. It's hard to walk away from that. By all accounts, his family is happy in Utah, so it's hard to walk away from that too. Hard to uproot your family and move to a new place, especially somewhere as different as Miami. Maybe he likes Miami. Maybe he likes South Florida. If that's the case, he could pull a Kevin Durant and say, look, I've been here for so long, I just want to change the scenery, which apparently played into Durant's decision to go from Oklahoma City to the Bay Area. And if that's the case, then maybe Miami has an opportunity there. And so does Boston, obviously. So Utah is the home team. They have that advantage. But at the same time, when you've been somewhere that long, there's baggage. Miami doesn't have baggage with Gordon Hayward. Boston doesn't have baggage with Gordon Hayward. Who knows? I mean, look, the Jazz were hesitant to give Hayward a max deal when he was a restricted free agent a few years ago. They wanted to kind of underpay him. Charlotte came in, gave him a big offer, and then Utah was forced to match to keep him. And that apparently rubbed him the wrong way. Now, that was several years ago. It was a different coach back then. He apparently really likes Quinn Snyder. But if you look at the coaches that coach the teams that he's interviewed with, the Heat and Eric Spoelstra, Boston and Brad Stevens, and Utah and Quinn Snyder, those are three really strong head coaches. Now, I've made the argument before that Spoelstra is the strongest of those three head coaches, but he does have that connection with Brad Stevens, which is mostly a speculative factor, but it's a factor nonetheless. And he's obviously got experience under Quinn Snyder, who's done a really great job with the Jazz the last couple seasons. So all we can do now is wait. By the time you're hearing this podcast, we might already know the Hayward decision, but as of now, he's sleeping on it. And we're going to have to wait until at least the 4th of July to find out what his decision is. Now, there's a lot of things that ride on this decision, obviously. The Heat are waiting on Hayward's final decision to see where he signs before they make any decisions on who they're going to sign. I mean, in particular, Deion Waiters and James Johnson. Now, Deion Waiters took a meeting with the Heat in Los Angeles on Sunday. That meeting went well, apparently, but then just hours after that meeting happened, he met with the Los Angeles Lakers, which provided some speculation. Okay, what is happening now with Dion Waiters? Does he think that the Heat are walking away from him and therefore he's going to meet with the Lakers and look for some playing time elsewhere? Well, a day after the Lakers met with Waiters, they ended up signing George Hill. Or they might sign George Hill. So, maybe if we're all we're going to do is speculate here, which I guess is all we can really do right now, maybe that meeting didn't go as well. Maybe the Lakers didn't see eye to eye with Waiters. I don't know. It's all speculative, like I said. But the point is, the Heat can't make a decision on Waiters or James Johnson until they know what Hayward's decision is. And we've got a lot of mailbag questions about the fallout of that. And so let's get into that. Our first mailbag question comes from Tayshawn Flats. He asks, last season I wasn't a fan of the Miami Heat going for Kevin Durant only because of the date the team had their meeting with him. By the time they got into the room with him, most free agents had already agreed to deals. While Miami getting their meeting with Hayward is great, they still have to wait till Monday, now Tuesday, for a decision. Do you think Deion and James Johnson will be okay being the team's plan B and wait a while? Now, obviously, what Tayshawn is referring to is the Dwayne Wade situation from last season. The Heat went after Durant, then they went ahead and re-signed Hassan Whiteside. Dwayne Wade apparently felt disrespected. He goes to Chicago. We know the whole story. It does seem to be a little bit different this summer. James Johnson has been very forward and open about his willingness to be patient. He was involved in the recruiting pitch with Hayward. Dwayne Wade was not involved in the recruiting pitch to Kevin Durant whatsoever. James Johnson was with Hayward. So he is involved. He, for better or worse, he has put himself in the middle of this whole situation. And that's good for James Johnson. He is smart. He clearly understands that if the Heat sign Hayward, it's either him or it's Deion. And he's been very forward, and he's been putting himself in the middle of this whole recruiting pitch, showing that he is a Heat lifer, that he wants to be here, that he wants to be a part of the reason why Gordon Hayward signs in Miami. It's very smart of James Johnson if he wants to stay in Miami, which apparently and clearly he does. So he's more than okay with it. Deion Waiters, he met with the Heat. We don't know how that meeting went. There's very little details. He's been meeting with several other teams. Several other teams have been interested in Deion Waiters. Who knows how that goes? But clearly, he hasn't signed yet. James Johnson is being involved with Miami's whole process. It does seem like they're okay with it. Dwayne Wade was doing his Dwayne Wade thing. I mean, after every season, he goes overseas and goes on vacations. He was doing that. He wasn't involved with Miami's plans. And it just sort of, in a couple of days, everything matriculated to the point where he was unhappy with how things were going with the organization, and he left. And we've covered this 1,000 times. That seems to be more of an exception. That doesn't seem to be the case here with James Johnson and Deion Waiters. Tayshawn has a second part of his question. He says, would you rather this team have that one go-to player or just a lot of really good players with no real identity? It's also a good question, and that's where the Heat have to kind of come to grips. It depends on the one go-to player. It depends on who it is. If that go-to player isn't very good or isn't good enough to get other all-stars to play with them, then I'd rather just have a bunch of okay players or really good players. That one guy can make a big difference. There is just because of the salary cap, guys like LeBron James only get paid a few million dollars more than guys like Evan Turner. And you could get a bunch of guys like James Johnson and Deion Waiters on $10 to $15 million a year contracts, but only go so far. But the value of a player who's making $30 million but impacts a team like LeBron or Durant or Curry or Harden or one of those guys, the value of that is so extreme compared to the value of a guy that's on a $15 million contract because of that salary cap. I mean, studies done wondering, okay, what will LeBron James, for example, be worth on an open market? And it's four times as much as what he'd make on a max salary. So you want those guys. Is Hayward one of those guys? He hasn't been in Utah, but he's just entering the prime of his career. Maybe he can be. Maybe he can get to that level. And if he can, then he's going to be a huge value on any on the $30 million contract he's going to sign. It's $30 million a year at the max contract. If he can live up to those if he could be a go-to player, if he could be an all-NBA player, he is going to be worth that money and more. I'd rather have Hayward. Guys want to play with guys like Hayward, difference makers. There aren't necessarily free agents flocking to go play with James Johnson or Deion Waiters. But people will be interested in playing with Gordon Hayward. And that's the whole idea here. Okay, Hayward's not the one, he's not going to get the Heat over the top, right? But he's the first move in a potential series of moves that could get the Heat over the top. Our next question comes from Lyle Iyawe. Sorry if I butchered. I definitely butchered that. All right. Is the next step in Tyler Johnson's development to start? It seems like Gordon Hayward is seriously considering Miami. And if he signs, Waiters might not be back. Tyler has made major steps in the past season, and he might make even more if he starts. He could essentially replace Waiters in the future. What do you think? My answer. That could very well be the case. I don't know if Tyler Johnson will start. He has been open about enjoying the six-man role. This has been kind of a curious phenomenon with Heat fans about this desire for Tyler Johnson to start just because he's getting paid a lot of money. I don't see the reason of playing a player just because he's getting paid a lot of money. If the team is better without him starting, or if he's better in a different role. And that seems to be the case with Tyler Johnson. The Heat have experimented with him as a starter in the past, and he is just better as a six-man. And if he's better, then he's going to live up to that contract value as the six-man. He's got nice combo guard skills. He could play point guard. He could play shooting guard. He's gotten a lot better at running pick and roll. But he's also gotten better as a catch-and-shoot scorer. And if you put him as the starting two guard, that almost pigeonholes him into only using those two guard skills where he has those point guard skills. You bring him off the bench and he can kind of slide into whichever position is going to be needed of him, which is what he said in the past is he's told reporters, I like playing six man because I'm able to come off the bench. I'm able to watch the game from the bench from the beginning and realize what my team needs from me, come in and fill that need. And that's his value. If Waiters does move on or the Heat don't re-sign him, I see maybe Josh Richardson sliding into that two-guard spot because he's mostly a two-guard. The Heat have tried him out at point guard. Tyler Johnson's more developed in that sense. He's got better catch-and-shoot potential than Tyler Johnson, and he's better defensively than Tyler Johnson. That's the other thing. If you're starting Tyler Johnson and Goran Dragic in the backcourt, that's a bad defensive backcourt. Those are two small guards that could get attacked by bigger guards. You put Josh Richardson in the backcourt, you have a bigger guard who could take the tougher defensive assignment from Dragic and allow Dragic to thrive offensively, leading the offense as he does. To me, Richardson would be the starter if Waiters goes, or even Wayne Ellington if he were to remain with the team as just a three-point shooter, floor spacer, and continue to bring Tyler Johnson off the bench in that combo guard, six-man role that he's thrived in. Next and final question, also related to Tyler Johnson. Claudia Reagan says, I love Tyler Johnson. He's full of energy and seems to be the perfect fit for the Heat, except for the one thing, his contract. Is there any chance of renegotiating his contract so he can give Pat Riley a little wiggle room next season and show his loyalty to the Heat if it exists and does it exist? Your thoughts. A good question. There's been some talks about restructuring deals, particularly with Wayne Ellington, but Tyler Johnson has a contract that can't be restructured. He signed it last year, four-year, $50 million contract. There's no way of restructuring that just because it's a locked-in, guaranteed deal. Wayne Ellington's contract, you've probably heard, you've heard reports that maybe the Heat could restructure or renegotiate. That's just the wording behind a more complex issue of Wayne Ellington. Wayne Ellington has a non guaranteed contract by July 7th. So if he's on the Heat by July 7th, his $6 million contract becomes guaranteed. At that point, it's not renegotiable. For now, it is. For now, Miami could essentially waive him and re-sign him to a different sort of deal, maybe more years for less money per year. The only issue with that, and we don't need to totally go into this, but the only issue with that is that he would have to go to waivers, and if he were to go to waivers, another team could scoop him up for what he's getting paid now in Miami, which is a nice contract. $6 million for a three-point shooter like Wayne Ellington is a value in today's league. So chances are if the Heat waived him, he wouldn't clear waivers, and the Heat wouldn't be able to sign him, and Wayne Ellington would be forced to go sign with whatever team claimed him on waivers. All in all, certain contracts can be renegotiated. Players on that are restricted free agents, or the year before they're due to be the restricted free agent, they're eligible for certain extensions. Those are technically renegotiations that could happen. But Tyler Johnson, he's not on a deal that can be renegotiated, unfortunately. And look, I mean, the way his contract is structured, small bits in the first 2 years and big bits in the final 2 years was pretty favorable for Miami, if you think about it. It allowed them, essentially, the room this year to chase Gordon Hayward, as well as keep one other $10 million-ish free agent. Now, if Tyler Johnson were to make the average of $12 million a year, the Heat might be able to still sign Waiters to a max, but Hayward to a max, but they'd have to make some other cap room or roster moves to get under the cap. They wouldn't be able to re-sign Waiters or James Johnson. So Tyler Johnson, on the deal that was structured by Brooklyn and Miami ended up matching with those two smaller contracts followed by two bigger contracts, actually gave Miami enough breathing room to be in the position they are now this offseason to be a major player for Gordon Hayward. So you could thank Tyler Johnson already, I suppose. All right, well, that's all we have for today. Whether you're listening on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnHeat, and you can email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. That's all we got. We'll catch you next time with hopefully Gordon Hayward news.